Good afternoon, everyone. Really nice to see you all on this absolutely beautiful day. We can tell the fall festival's coming. I can tell by the crowded freeways during the week with all the students heading back to class. And it's just a beautiful time of the year to see the weather starting to change. I want to thank our special music. We are incredibly privileged to have such great special music, and being in the auditorium here makes it even more special. So thank you for your efforts and work. It's really appreciated. To begin this message, I would like to share a brief conversation I read about between a husband and a wife. And an exasperated husband asked his wife, "Why are you always worrying? It doesn't do any good." She quickly piped back, "Oh, yes, it does. 90% of the things I worry about never happen." That was supposed to be a light moment. Okay, let me try that again. Maybe I'll turn it around. But really, it's a humorous look at worry, but worrying is a reality in our lives, isn't it? To a greater or lesser extent. Some of us worry more than others. I've seen it within families. Some worry, some seem to take life as it comes. So I have a question for us today. What causes us to worry? For example, do we worry about health? Maybe we have an ache. We don't know what that is, and we're worried about it. Maybe we have a pain. Maybe we're worried about disease. Maybe we have a genetic prevalence in our families for a certain type of disease, and it causes us to worry. Maybe we're worried about our job. Maybe there's a restructuring going on, and we're concerned what it means to us. Maybe we're worried about our relationship with a coworker and how it will impact us. Maybe they're undermining us in front of those above us. Maybe we're worried about our neighborhood. Sometimes we have some neighbors that are not the best, and they're causing problems, and we wonder how it'll impact us. Maybe we're worried about society. We see the hate speech going on, the disintegration of values. What does the future hold? Maybe we're worried about our marriage. Things just don't seem to be going right now. And the challenges we face, whether it's financially or emotionally, are taking a toll, not only on the spouse, but on the rest of the family as well. Maybe we're worried about our children, and it's interesting, no matter how young or old our children are, we worry about them, don't we? We worry about their futures. We worry about how we can provide for them. When do you give them space? When do you let them go? When do you intervene? Maybe we're worried about our parents. They're getting older. How are they going to take care of themselves? What is my responsibility as a child of that parent to take care of them? And how can I take care of them while I'm taking care of my own family? Maybe we're worried about finances. We can't seem to get out of the hole we dug ourselves into, and we're challenged by it. We need to make repairs to our home. We need to make repairs to a car. Maybe we need a new car. Maybe we need to get some medical procedure done, and we just can't afford it. Maybe we're worried about school. Some of these classes are tough. I remember one class I fretted and worried about was intermediate accounting. And when I was going through my accounting degree, that was the class that they used to sift out those that would go on to the major and those that would move on to another major. And I used to worry about that incessantly. I put a lot of hours into that class, and I worried. Maybe we're worried about our grades. They're not as high as we'd like them to be. Maybe we have challenging teachers. Maybe we have impossible students that we are with. Maybe we're lonely. Maybe we're in class and nobody talks to us, and it worries us. Maybe we're facing peer pressure that we're battling. Maybe we're worried about the future. Will we be ready for what life holds? If we're single, will we find someone? Maybe we're worried about our relationship with God. Are we doing enough? We're slipping. Are we doing enough? Will we make it? I'm sure there are individual circumstances that I have not covered. And maybe you weren't worried when you came here and now you have something to worry about. But what causes us to lose our attention, to lose our sleep, to be distracted? Worry can take a toll on us. I'd like to read from an article from the Daily Mail entitled, What Worrying Does to Your Health, by Rosalind Ryan. When you worry, your body responds to your anxiety the same way it would react to physical danger. To help you cope with the physical demands you're about to ask your body to perform, your brain releases stress hormones like adrenaline and cortisol into the bloodstream. They trigger a range of physical reactions that will equip your body for action. Your heart rate increases, your breathing becomes heavier, and you may sweat more. You may become pale as the blood moves away from the skin towards the muscles to help them prepare for the fight or flight situation your worry has created. The article continues. But many of the things we worry about today cannot be dealt with by fighting or running away. Credit card bills, bad relationships, and stress at work cannot be dealt with physically, so our body remains in a state of anxiety, ready for action. This means stress hormones are still circulating in the bloodstream. Teresa Francis Chung says over a prolonged period of time, raised levels of these chemicals can start to have a toxic effect on the glands, nervous system, and heart, and it will eventually lead to heart attacks, increased risk of stroke, and stomach ulcers. Because your body has tensed, ready to respond to the threat you're feeling, the muscle tension can turn into aches and pains, causing headaches, back pain, weak legs, and trembling. The tension can also affect your digestive system. You may also become more prone to infections. It is widely accepted that stress and anxiety can lower your immune system, make you more susceptible to picking up colds or serious illnesses. With excessive worries, our immune systems have little time to recover, so you even become more tired and lethargic. Worrying also has an effect on our brains. Excessive worry disturbs your peace of mind, making it harder for you to concentrate one task at a time. This means it may be difficult for you to fall asleep at night. And once you are suffering from insomnia, many worriers start to worry about that as well, making those symptoms even worse. And the article goes on. Worrying may also make you absent-minded or neglectful of your health. You may feel too stressed to eat properly, so you're not getting enough vitamins and minerals in your diet. This could speed up the aging process as you're not replenishing your skin, muscles, or brain with the right nutrients from your food. Excessive worry can even lead to depression. If you start to worry about everyone and everything day and night, and you feel that life is unfair and justice does not exist, or you can become paranoid that people will betray you. These could be the first warning signs of depression. Talk to your doctor or a trained counselor if you're starting to feel like this. As noted in the article I read, worry can lead to a number of health issues. There's a study out at the university that recently just came out at the University of Southern California, and it found that people who experienced high anxiety at any time of their life had a 48% higher risk of developing dementia as compared to those who had not. Worrying, especially excessive worrying, can have a detrimental impact on one's health, our ability to function normally. It takes a toll on us, but it also takes a toll on those around us. Yet, worrying seems to be the diet of our day at times. We are plagued by what-if problems. What if my car breaks down? What if I get laid off from work? What if our house is burglarized? What if I get cancer? If we do a good job, we'll worry that we're going to lose it. And if we have good health, we're going to worry that we won't have it for long. If we step back, we have to admit we live in an anxiety-ridden culture. And as a society, we have so much available to us, so much. But it seems with the increase of wealth, increase of creature comforts, increase in technology, comes increased anxiousness and worry. In a way, the more we have, the more worries that accompany it as well. For example, whoever heard of identity theft 50 or even 25 years ago? Merriam-Webster defines worry as to think about problems or fears, to feel or show fear and concern because you think that something bad has happened or could happen. The English word worry comes from the Old English Reigran and the Old High German Wergen, which both means to strangle, to choke. And doesn't worrying do that when we worry? Doesn't it sort of strangles our mind, it chokes our mind? We get tunnel vision, we can't seem to focus on anything about the worrying that's taking our mind. In the Bible, the Greek word miramanao, used in the most New Testament references for the word worry, comes from the root Greek word merizo, which means to divide. Thus, worrying can be defined, as the Bible does, a divided mind. The mind becomes divided. Isn't that the case when we worry? We have to function, but our mind is distracted. We're focused on the matter that's worrying us. We are divided. We are distracted. Our mind is choked. It's focused. It has tunnel vision on the worry that's before us, and it's hard to focus on the task at hand because of the burden on our mind. Worrying has been defined as a small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel in which all other thoughts are drained. In my research of this topic, there were a number of times a study was quoted where it concluded an average person worries about 40% of the things that will never happen, 30% of the things of the past that cannot be changed, 12% about matters related by criticisms of others, which is mostly untrue, 10% about health, which actually gets worse with worrying, and 8% about real problems that will be faced. Isn't that basically true in our lives? How many times, and I'm guilty of this, have we worried about things that just haven't come to fruition? We come up with incredible worst-case scenarios in our mind. We expect the absolute worst. It distracts us. It saps us of our energy. We lose sleep, and then it doesn't occur. Or at least it doesn't occur the way we thought it would happen. Yet, we continue to worry about things, don't we? Now, in the context of this message, I want to differentiate between worrying and being concerned. I believe we can confuse the two by thinking we should not be concerned about things. I do not believe that's what God has in mind as we go forward with this message when we talk about worry. I would like to read from a newsletter from Ascent Advising entitled, Worry is Problem-Oriented, Concern is Solution-Oriented. Worrying is ruminating about an issue that's plaguing us without actually making substantive progress in addressing the issue. The dictionary supports this with definitions such as to touch or disturb something repeatedly. to subject persistent or nagging attention or effort, to afflict with mental distress or agitation, to make anxious. This is in contrast to concern. Concern, I would offer, is solution-oriented. Concern focuses on solving the problem, addressing the issue. It isn't going over the same points over and over without adding value to the thought, which worrying does. It is coming up with options, setting priorities, drawing conclusions. And the newsletter goes on. When considering the differences between worry and concern, consider these distinctions. Worry distracts us. Concern focuses us. Worry disables planning. Concern helps us plan. Worry blurs our vision. Concern clarifies our purpose. Worry tends to give up. Concern perseveres. Worry exaggerates. Concern pinpoints problems. Worry focuses on self. Concern cares for others. So why do we worry? There are various reasons why we worry. I'd like to propose that there are three root causes to worry. First, fear of the unknown. The reason why we worry is we have a fear of the unknown. Life can be unpredictable, can't it? At times, and it creates insecurity within us. And as a result, we worry. For example, we might worry about the future for our children. We might worry that there's a restructure. We're hearing about a restructure going on at work, and it may impact us. We fear the unknown. A second reason why we worry is we worry about losing what we have. We worry about losing what we have, whether it's health, happiness, status, freedom, independence, relationships, things we have accumulated, and even life itself. And as a result, our fear of losing it results in us worrying. It's a fact of life that life is tenuous. One day we could have something, and the next day it's gone. And that can worry us. And I believe the third reason why I believe we worry is we try to control something that we have little or no control over. We try to control something we have little or no control over. Sometimes we can deceive ourselves to believe we have control over things that we really don't have power over. For example, we cannot control how other people feel about us. We can try to manipulate it. We can put an image on. We can try to convince, but ultimately it's up to that person how they feel about us. We have really no control over that person's opinion. We can only control the person we are, the way we act and speak, but not how others necessarily receive us. And at its root, when you look at these, fear of unknown, losing what we have, controlling things that we have little or no control over, it's tied around the fear of uncertainty. In one study, it was found that worriers agonized about matters that rarely occurred. However, the majority of participants reported they believed overthinking about a positive negative event had helped prevent it from taking place. In other words, chronic worriers operate under the misconception that their fretting allows them to control the future. Worrying becomes like a coping mechanism. It's kind of a magical thinking, a form, a tortuous and illogical one, but a form of coping that a person deals with, a form of self-protection. Maybe we even think that way. In this message today, I want to explore the topic of worry and how to approach worrying from a biblical and a practical perspective, because at one time or another, we all worry. Leo Bascaglia, a motivational speaker in the latter half of the 20th century, once stated, "Worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy." Let me repeat that. Worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy. And in starting our discussion, which one of the following phrases is the way we deal with worry in our lives? These are things we might say to ourselves to deal with our worry, or maybe others have said it to us. Here are some of the phrases I would like us to consider. Don't worry, it may never happen. Don't worry, you just need to get control of yourself. Don't worry, it's all going to be over soon. Don't worry, be happy, laugh your troubles away. Don't worry, it might get better, but it'll probably get worse. Don't worry, just put it out of your mind. Quit thinking about it. With regard to don't worry, just quit thinking about it, I would like to read from an article from Victoria Stern, Why We Worry, from the November-December 2009 Scientific American. In 1987, Daniel Wegner, a psychologist at Harvard University, found that when people were told not to think about a white bear, they tended to mention it about once a minute. In the experiment, Wegner left a participant in a room with a microphone and bell and asked the volunteer to talk freely about any topic. At one point, he interrupted a person's monologue and told them to continue talking, but at this time, not to think about a white bear. And if the subject did think about a white bear, he had to ring the bell. On average, people rang the bell more than 6 times in the next 5 minutes. And even said white bear out loud several times. By trying to put a worry or thought out of our mind, it only makes the worrying worse. Wegner says, just like when a song gets stuck in your head, you think you ought to be able to get rid of it, but you only end up making it stick more by trying to push it away. Just putting something out of our mind is not a solution to worry. In fact, really, none of these pieces of advice are the best way to deal with worry. In our journey and in our life, we should not be seeking to escape, withdraw, or remove all of our problems. Problems are part of life. Nor should we be indifferent, apathetic, fatalistic, or unconcerned about situations we may be facing. So what should we do? Well, it's best to look at our compass, our instruction book, for the answer. Turn to Matthew 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. And we're familiar with these verses, but I'd like to go through it again in depth to discuss worry and what God says about it. Matthew 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not more clothe you of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, in verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. When looking at these set of scriptures, especially at verse 25, it states, do not worry about our life. What it does not mean is the following. First, it doesn't mean do not plan. Don't worry doesn't mean don't plan. The King James Version translates the phrase do not worry or do not take thought, but this can be misleading as people read it because it gives the impression that planning for the future is unnecessary. And many people over time have mistakenly assumed that this is a prohibition against building a career, building a retirement fund, prudent financial planning, taking life insurance or health insurance. In fact, I would surmise that lack of planning is a cause for a number of people's worries in their lives. Second, do not worry doesn't mean don't be concerned. We need to have some degree of healthy concern in our life. We need to be concerned when our children are playing near traffic. We need to keep an eye on them. We need to be concerned also about our health. So we should try to watch what we eat. As we covered earlier, concern is evaluating the situation and coming up with options, setting priorities, drawing conclusions. Concern leads us to an action we take in facing a solution. Remember, worry is problem-oriented. It spins on the problem. It rehearses the problem. Concern focuses on a solution. Now, in going back to the scriptures we just read in Matthew 6, we can see there are seven things that God wants us to consider when it comes to worry. Let's go back to Matthew 6, verse 25, and start from there. It states, first, the first thing that God wants us to consider is the same God who created life in you can be trusted with the details of that life. And that's in Matthew 6, verse 25. The same God who created life in you can be trusted with the details of that life. It says in Matthew 6, 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, or what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? The second item that God wants us to consider with regard to worry is found in Matthew 6:26. It says, worry causes us to lose focus on how special we are to God. Worrying causes us to lose focus on how special we are to God. It states in Matthew 6:26, look at the birds in the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? The third thing God would like us to consider is worrying in reality really doesn't accomplish anything of value. Matthew 6, verse 27. Which one of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? The fourth thing God would like us to consider, and that will be in Matthew 6, verse 28 to 30, which we'll read shortly, is God does not ignore those who depend on him. It states again in Matthew 6, 28 to 30, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God doesn't ignore those who depend on him. The fifth thing God would like us to consider in these scriptures about worrying, worrying shows a lack of understanding of God and our relationship with him. Worrying shows a lack of understanding of God and our relationship with him. Matthew 6 and verse 31 through 32 states, Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Again, worrying shows a lack of understanding of God and our relationship with Him. The sixth thing in these scriptures that God wants us to consider about worrying, worrying keeps us from focusing on God wants us to pursue, the direction we should be heading in our lives. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Worrying keeps us from focusing on God, what God wants us to look to, the direction we should be heading in our lives, the kingdom of God. And finally, the seventh item that God would like us to consider when it comes to worrying, we need to focus living at the day at hand and meet the challenges we face every day. And do not worry what tomorrow will bring. Matthew 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Through these verses we covered, and the seven items we covered, God gives us two overriding principles with regard to worry. One, there is more to life than what we are worrying about. And the second is, if God takes care of His creation, He will also take care of His children. Now, that doesn't mean we won't face challenges. That doesn't mean we won't face trials. That doesn't mean we won't face difficulties. Life has its challenges each and every day, but God assures us that He's on His throne and He looks out for His children, caring for us. Turn to 1 Peter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. It states in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. In verse 7, casting all, not some, not a portion, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. The International Standard Version renders verse 7 as follows. Throw all your worry on Him because He cares for you. All our worries, all our concerns, throw them upon God. We need to do our part, but throw the worry, the things we cannot control, upon God, and He'll care for us. And God, through His Spirit, will give us peace at times of our troubles. That is, if we request it. Turn to Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6, and we'll read through verse 7. It states, be anxious for nothing, or some translations translated as don't worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. We let our requests be known through first prayer. First, we have to make the effort to go to God through prayer, humbly before His throne. Then the word supplication, which means a request. We make our request known. We make our request known to God. But what I find is interesting ties in thanksgiving. When we are worried, are we thankful? When we're worried and we have that tunnel vision and we feel life is collapsing on us, are we thankful? Can we even think outside of our tunnel? But what God says in the prayer, I want you to think outside the tunnel you're in. I want you to think about thanksgiving, the things we can be thankful for. We need to, at the time, thank God for the many blessings that I had. And I think God does this to wake up our mind, to realize our worry in comparison to all we have is probably not that big. And it's certainly not too big for God to help us with. When we do this, When we do those three things, prayer, supplication, and we thank God for what we have, what we've been blessed with, verse 7 notes that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts, will guard our emotions, and our minds. In other words, our thoughts. But we have to include thanksgiving in that prayer. It's not enough to pray and ask for God's help. We have to focus on what we're thankful for. Our instruction book, our compass, the Bible shows that we need to go before God with our worries. But is that it? Then we're done? We're done. That's it. We throw it to God. I believe as God opened the Red Sea for the Israelites, he did the miracle. But the Israelites still had to walk. They still had to make the action to walk through it. In dealing with worry, we also need to take action to do our part. And I would like to explore for the remainder of this sermon five actions we need to take to do our part in combating worry in our lives. The first action is challenge our worries. Keep them in perspective. Challenge our worries. Don't run away. Face them. Challenge them. Put them in perspective. As noted earlier in this message, only 8% of the worries are really based on real problems that need to be faced. We need to take a look at the worries we have and ask ourselves, is it rational? If it is, turn it into a concern. Take action. If we're worried about a test at school, make it a concern and take action. Set aside additional time to study. If we're worried about finances, make it a concern. Take action. Come up with a plan on dealing with financial challenges. Maybe get a professional to help. If we're worried about our health, make it a concern. Take action. Evaluate and make changes in our lifestyle that promote health. In challenging our worries, it would be helpful that we set aside 15 minutes every day to challenge our worries, to think on them, to take a worry break. You know how we normally take a coffee break? Well, we're going to take a worry break. We're going to actually sit down and focus on our worries. We're not going to run away from them. We're going to focus our attention to them. But we only do so for that 15 minute at a time. Then you need it, leave it to the next day and focus and try to focus on other things so we don't obsess throughout the day. Take those 15 minutes and focus on that challenge. Is it rational? What does God say? Ask God for help. Be thankful for what we have and put them in God's hands. And during this time, our 15 minutes, we should examine our past worries. If we have a hard time remembering what those worries were, probably means they never came through or they didn't come through as we expected it. And it might help us in dealing with the worries today. And then we need to take time as we face the problems, as we face our worries, to try as much as possible to turn them into concerns and take action. But there are some things that are worries that are totally out of our hand. There won't be an action that we can take. And then we put it in God's hands. We pray, we ask God for help, and we thank Him for the many blessings we have received in our lives. In challenging our worries, we need to be rational. We need to not be afraid of our worries. We need them to look at them squarely in our lives. And it's not easy. When we're going through worry, when we're going through that tunnel of worry, it's not easy to face those worries. And then what happens if our worry comes true? I remember some years ago when I was making a significant career move and change, I was really worried about what happens if I would lose my job. I was going to a different way of evaluating performance, and I was worried. And it was a major change. I had a family with small children, and it worried me. And I was so focused on that worry, I could not see outside the tunnel. So I asked my wife, what will happen? What are we going to do? What are we going to do if I lose my job? And I'll never forget this. She simply stated, well, we'll just have to start over again, won't we? We need to look at past disappointments and our past failures. What did we learn from them? Did they help us in any way? Was our experience all that bad? And sometimes maybe we had to start all over again. But we can do it. We can do it with God's help. We can do it with the help of others. We can do it with the help of our families. We shouldn't run from our worries. Take a short period of time every day to face them. Challenge them. See if you can change them into concern. And evaluate whether they're rational or irrational. Secondly, learn to accept that life is uncertain and we cannot control everything. Secondly, learn to accept that life is uncertain, that we cannot control everything. People who worry have a real hard time accepting that they can't have complete control in their lives. That there are life's uncertainties that we simply cannot control. They're beyond us. Even the Bible notes that life is uncertain. Turn to James 4, verse 13. James 4, verse 13. James 4, verse 13. James 4, verse 13 states, "Come on, come now, you who say tomorrow, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend time there to buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you don't know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." We can't control what others think about us. We can't generally control what others will do. We can't control all aspects about society around us. We can't control getting older. It's what we face. We have to deal with and face it. And we have to accept that there are some things in our life we just cannot control. So what's the point of worrying, fretting about things we can't control? And I'm not saying it's easy. It's one of the hardest things you can do. For those of us who like to worry, it's hard to disengage from that. But it takes a conscious effort to accept the reality that some things are just not in our control. And in these situations, we put the matter in God's hand. And what does God promise? That when we do that, we put it in His hands, and we're thankful for what we have, we will have peace that surpasses the understanding that will envelop us. It doesn't mean the problems go away, but our mind will be at peace. A third action we can take in dealing with worry is choose a healthy lifestyle. If we're not living a healthy lifestyle, we can unwittingly contribute to our worry in our lives. I'd like to read from an article entitled "Lifestyle Tips for Managing Anxiety" from canoe.com, C-Health, and it states the following. You can make lifestyle changes and adopt healthy habits to ease your anxiety symptoms. 1. Exercise. Add regular physical activity to your life. It's one of the best things you can do to reduce anxiety symptoms and facilitate healing. Exercise boosts mood, improves sleep, reduces tension, and calms stress. It also provides a time of mindless distraction away from our worries and fears. Secondly, eat and drink well. No one food or drink will make anxiety disappear, but your mood and energy will be best supported by a balanced diet, steady meal and snack times, and awareness of any food sensitivities. Stay properly hydrated. Minimize your intake of caffeine and alcohol, both of which can trigger anxiety-like sensation in the bodies. The article also discusses the need for adequate rest and cultivating calm in our lives, that we take time and just try to get some serenity in our lives, to meditate on God's ways, to meditate on things we can be thankful for. Like the body, the mind can overrun with anxiety. A mind overrun with anxiety needs extra rest. And we may want to consider activities that promote a peace of mind. Simple things such as reading a book, listening to music, or taking a leisurely stroll. As we know, we need to take care of the bodies we have been given. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. And we're familiar with this verse. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Taking care of our body, living a healthy lifestyle, can alleviate worry. A fourth way we need to take action and deal with worry is to spend time with others who can positively impact our lives. Spend time with others who can positively impact our lives. One of the ways to combat worry, according as noted in WebMD, is the following. It states, have a strong social network. Chronic feelings of loneliness or social isolation make it harder to effectively manage stress, and anxiety is a form of stress and worry. People who are happily married and have large networks of friends not only have greater life expectancies compared to those who do not, but also have fewer incidences of just about all types of disease. When we are worried, one of the worst things we can do is spend time in isolation. We need the encouragement and the strength, the friendship and the positive outlooks others can provide. To be alone with the television, computer, or a bottle is not the way to deal with worry. Proverbs 12, verse 25 states, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but kind words cheer him up. We need to seek the encouragement of each other. It's important that we encourage one another. And it's our legacy as God's family to be a family of encouragers. Hebrews 10:25 notes that we are not to neglect the meeting together in order to what? Encourage one another. We should be encouraging each other every time we get to have an opportunity to get together, especially as we see the day approaching. Finally, the fifth action we can take in dealing with worry is to consult with a health professional. Consult with a health professional. It can be that some of the anxiety and worry that we're dealing with could be a result of a health-related problem. It is normal at times to feel worry or anxiety in these anxious times we live in, but if we're unable to cope, it would be wise to seek the help of a health professional. We can start off by talking to our primary care physician. It may be prudent to get a routine physical exam to make sure there's not a health problem that it's causing and not fueling our feelings of anxiety. In this message, we examine worry and its impact in our lives. And worry, as we know, can take a toll on our lives. Mentally, physically, spiritually. And for purpose of this topic, we differentiated worry from concern. Worry is problem-oriented. It just focuses on the problem. Concern is solutions-oriented. It takes a situation and tries to find an action and a solution. And I proposed in this message there are three root causes of why we worry. Fear of the unknown. Fear of losing what we have, and trying to control something we have little or no control over. In Matthew 6, we saw that there were seven things God wants us to consider when it comes to worry. The same God who created life in you can be trusted with details of your life. Worrying causes us to lose focus on how special we are to God. Worrying, in reality, does not accomplish anything of value. God does not ignore those who depend on him. Worrying shows a lack of understanding of God and our relationship with him. Worrying keeps us focusing on God and what he wants us to pursue. focusing on living the day at hand and meeting the challenges we face every day, so we should not worry about what tomorrow brings. And based on these seven items, we see that God gives two overriding principles with regard to worry. One is, there is more to life than what we are worrying about. And two, if God can take care of his creation, he will also take care of his children. We also examine that when we go before God with our worries in prayer, in supplication, and we need to do so with thanksgiving. That has to be the important part of our prayer, that we are thankful for the many blessings we have received in our life. And when we put our worries in God's hands and we do so with thanksgiving, he promises a peace beyond our understanding. We also have our part in dealing with worry. We should challenge our worries rather than run from them. Is what we are facing and what we worried about rational or irrational? We need to accept the fact that we can't control everything in our lives. We need to choose a healthy lifestyle. We need to spend time with others, to seek encouragement and also to give encouragement. And it could be that health problems are triggering our ongoing anxieties and worries. In these cases, we should seek a health professional. We live in an anxious world, and with God's help, with the encouragement of others, with the encouragement of everybody in this room, if we challenge our worries, if we face them head on, we can combat the burden of worry in our lives. However, it's our choice. We can choose to worry, or we can choose to be concerned. And for those things that we can't control, we put them in God's hands. To conclude this message, I would like to read from Matthew 11, verse 28. It states, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."